Welcome to Christian Assembly, a family church. Since 1930, we've been serving the communities of Western Pennsylvania, Ohio, and West Virginia with the good news of Jesus Christ. With over 40 years of Bible teaching and ministry experience, Pastor Bill brings faith-filled revelation from God's Word. We believe with you, wherever you are, that God will inspire and change your life through the following teaching. For more information about Christian Assembly, follow us on social media or visit our website at cafamily.net.
I want to begin with Ezekiel chapter 22, talking about intercessory prayer for just a brief moment here tonight. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Sounds like God didn't want to destroy it. But he couldn't find anybody to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation upon them, or wrath. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. In other words, I gave them what they wanted. They wanted it, so he gave it to them because nobody would stand in the gap and make up the hedge. So intercession is in really being involved in praying for others. One hand on God, one hand on the other, and you being the conduit through which God moves to manifest his mighty power and glory and enforce his will in the earth. Another quick example of that is found in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And look at beginning at verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority. Why, Lord, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, in other words, he's using people to pray and intercede on the behalf of other people so that they could be the conduit through which he moves to bring peace in our land, but also salvation to those that are in need of salvation. Now, as far as our text is concerned, this is God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel about what was taking place in Judah. In other words, what the condition was. So what took place was the government leaders were corrupt. They were involved in all kinds of corruption, dishonesty, and that sort of thing. Sound familiar? The priesthood had failed them. They were more concerned in materialism than they were in spiritual values. And that's what their problem was. Then thirdly, and this is so critical, the prophets, they were liars. Look at the book of Ezekiel chapter 13. This is from the Message translation of the Bible. Listen carefully. God's message came to me, son of man, preach against the prophets of Israel, who are making things up out of their own heads and calling it prophesying. Preach to them the real thing. Tell them, listen to God's message. God, the Master, pronounces doom on the empty-headed prophets who do their own thing and know nothing of what's going on. Your prophets, Israel, are like jackals scavenging through the ruins. They haven't lifted a finger to repair the defenses of the city, and they have risked nothing to help Israel stand on God's day of judgment. All they do is fantasize comforting illusions and preach lying sermons. They say, God says, when God hasn't so much as breathed in their direction. And yet they stand around thinking that something they said is going to happen. Haven't you fantasized sheer nonsense? Aren't your sermon tissues of lies saying God says, when I've done nothing of the kind? Therefore, and this is the message of God, the Master. Remember, I'm dead set against prophets who substitute illusions for visions and use sermons to tell lies. I'm going to ban them from the council of my people, remove them from my membership in Israel, and outlaw them from the land of Israel. Then you'll realize that I am God, the Master. And if you ever read those scriptures before, I think it puts a little bit of something like reverence in you. Watch when you say, God said. Watch when you say, thus saith the Lord. Because if you're saying, thus saith the Lord, if you read the rest of the chapter, he's talking about that's divination. When you say God sent something and God didn't say it, That's divination. And so it's important. I think personally, I'd rather say I just kind of feel impressed. I like to be safe with regard to something like that, because he brought judgment on them big time. So, and then finally, the people were irrecoverably corrupt. They got themselves involved in immorality, like you wouldn't believe. It's almost like Sodom and Gomorrah and all that. Here they are prophesying, let's say, victory, and defeat was right around the corner. Prosperity and a famine is right around the corner. Peace and war was right around the corner. They're prophesying all these different things while all this is going on. And God's saying, what are you talking about? I'm not in any of that stuff. I didn't say that, so don't say I said that. And he took it very personally. So what did he do? He looked to see if there's anybody that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And it's sad to say that no one of influence could be found that would take his place, her place, do their part, to cooperate with God, collaborate together with him, one hand on him and one hand on what's going on, so he could use them as the conduit through which he could do what? Protect them, deliver them, etc. They would repent, but he couldn't find anybody. He warned them, but nobody heeded the warning. They ignored the warnings that he gave them. And then it goes on to say that he pleaded with them, but they mocked him. You know what that made me think of? How would you like to be this pastor? He preached for over 100 years, and 8 people got saved. What was his name? Noah. He preached over 100 years while building the ark. He was called a preacher of righteousness, and 8 people got saved. Wow. Would that be hard to swallow? You see why God had to bring the flood to wipe out everybody? Because everybody was corrupt. Everybody was wicked. Everybody was evil. He tried to intervene. He tried to warn them for all these years, but they got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And finally, because the righteous line was in danger of becoming extinct, what did he have to do? Create a flood. And only 8 people got saved to preserve the righteous line to bring the Messiah back into the world. And then he stretched out his arms, but yet they walked away. Nobody could be found. You think about Abraham when he intervened and interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah. If you can find 50, 40, 30, 20, 10 righteous, will you spare the land? Maybe if he got down to 5, it might have happened, but I kind of think there wasn't anyone. And that's why they were judged the way they were judged. You think the same thing with Nineveh? But what about this? Jonah, what does he do? Instead of going because he thinks God's going to forgive them and they're going to repent and be restored and all that, he doesn't want that to happen. And so he goes the other way. And you know the story there. So it's important that we take our place and do our part. And it's important that we recognize our need to cooperate with God, take our place, stand in the gap, make up the hedge, one hand on God and one hand on whatever that we're praying about. And really this Sunday we're talking about praying about people getting into the kingdom of God. We want our friends, our family members, our loved ones to come into the family of God. We're having this special meeting because we believe God wants to save the lost above anything else. So, it's up to us to say, I'm here, I'm ready, I will take my place, I will do my part, and I will intercede on the behalf of your work being done and achieved in the earth here at this hour. Now think about our nation, and you think about the fact that righteousness is what enables a nation to what? Succeed. Righteousness, it promotes or exalts a nation. And it's no different than it was then. And there's a lot of lack of righteousness in our country, and you know that as well as I do today. So it's no different. It's up to us to do what he said. If my people that will call by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from wicked ways, I would hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So notice it's in cooperation with him. We do our part, he will do his part. Otherwise, it's not going to get done. And I realize that some people think, well, God's sovereign, he can do what he wants. Well, apparently, he can't do everything that he wants. He looked for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, and no one could be found. And why did he want them? So that he wouldn't have to bring judgment upon the people. He didn't want to. Mercy always precedes judgment. But they wouldn't cooperate. No one would cooperate. Well, tonight we're here to cooperate. Are we here to cooperate tonight? all of us to come together, amen, and believe that God is going to move by His Spirit in a powerful way. He's going to save the lost. He is going to bring conviction upon their souls. He's going to bring them into the kingdom. Praise God. And He's going to move in a powerful way.